life has disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has disbelieved in Allah. But we do not pronounce takfir on that person unless the conditions of takfir have been fulfilled. And this is why I can understand why the brother said we were kuffar. He said, I'm not the one who made takfir of you, but Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab is the one who made takfir of you. Because of the rule in Usul al-Fiqh, من لا يكفر الكافر فهو كافر. Whoever does not make a kafir, he's a kafir. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَفْرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثَ ثَلَاثَةً, verily they have disbelieved those who say Allah is one of three. Here Allah is saying he's a kafir, and you're not saying he's a kafir. So the ulama say, whoever does not say a kafir is a kafir, he's a kafir. So therefore, ikhwan, there are certain issues in fiqh that the ulama disagreed in. For an example, some of the ulama say that if you leave salat, you become a kafir. You can't be married to a Muslim. You can't inherit a Muslim. You can't be buried in the maqbara of the Muslimin. There are other ulama who say, no, he's not a kafir. He's not a kafir. And both sides have proof. So therefore, according to the understanding of this majnoon, those ulama who do not say that the one who left salat is a kafir, they are kuffar, are calling to him. Because here I'm saying, and this is how this kalima, this word, which is so easy to say. And this is why I really find it strange, ikhwan, that some of you can be fooled by this Jamaat al-Jihad stuff. Wallahi, one of them came to me yesterday, Wallahi al-Azim, came to me yesterday, because he heard the lesson. And we're given knowledge from Sahih Bukhari. And he said to me, you said that wearing something below your ankle bone is not permissible. Okay, Akhi, you mean to tell me when it's cold outside and it's winter time and everything like that, I have to keep my feet uncovered? I thought the brother was going to bring some ayahs from the Quran, some dalil. La, this is how they argue with you. You mean to tell me, this is unjust, brother, this is unjust. How can I go around with my ankle bones exposed in the winter time and this is London? And I do not say this for you brothers to laugh. This is a sad situation. A man spends in these Arab countries 5, 10, 15 years behind bars. And he leaves his woman and his children. No one takes care of him. Why? Because of this easy word. Anta kafir. Anta kafir. Anta kafir. Who a kafir? So easy to say. But try to come to class every single Monday and try to learn the Sahih Bukhari and see how difficult it is. Now that's difficult. It's difficult to get knowledge that benefits. That's what anta kafir, anta kafir. Since this door of takfir was open, it hasn't been closed to this very day. When the Khawarij started to say that Ali was a kafir, the Sahabas were a kuffar, the door hasn't been closed today. The proof of that is we have to talk about it right now. So here Uzair questioned the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give life to something after it had died. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make takfir on Uzair, this is clear proof that a person does not go out of Islam just like that because he makes a statement of kufr or because he does a deed of kufr. And the example of this are so many in the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Lallahu ashaddu farahan عِنْدَ تَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ حِينَ يَتُوبُ مِنْ أَهَدِكُمْ وَقَعَ رَاحِلَتِهِ فِي أَرْضٍ فَلَاتِ وَعَلَيْهَا طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ. He said, verily Allah is more happy when His servant repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he repents, Allah is more happy at his repentance than one of you who falls off of his camel in a desolate place, in a desert somewhere. And his camel runs away, and on it is his food and his drink. So he gives up hope that the camel is gone with his food and his drink and he's in the middle of the desert. So he goes to go under a tree to wait for death to come to him. And when he wakes up, the camel is over his head, and now the camel is his food and his drink. And he says, after seeing that, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuka akhta min shiddat al farh. He says, oh Allah, I'm your Lord. You are my slave and I'm your Lord. He makes a mistake because he was so happy. So if a person, because he was extremely happy, or he was extremely sad, or he was extremely afraid, if that causes him to act in a certain behavior, he has an opportunity to be forgiven, because in Al-Islam, a person is excused because of ignorance in the issue of kufr. So we need to learn about these conditions of al-kufr. When do we pronounce takfir on the person? When do we pronounce takfir on the person? Because if we don't do this, what's going to happen is, we'll make takfir, and then after that, the blood of the person becomes halal. Like it has been passed. We had to go to those people to say. Because the fatwa was given, you can kill some of them. There was a fatwa given for some people from here to be killed. Not only are you the qadi, but you're the amir al-mu'mineen, the khalifa, to take out the hudud on the Muslims in the kafir society. Ayub al-Sajistani, a famous scholar of al-Islam, he said that the door of takfir never was opened except that the swords of the people after that followed it. And that's the case all the time. So therefore, we want to say to the younger brothers here in particular that this issue of takfir is extremely dangerous. When we say that someone is a kafir or someone is a mu'min or someone is a fasiq, all of this is terminology that can only be determined by the religion and not by emotion and not by desire. So the person who deserves to be a kafir, we call him a kafir. The person who doesn't deserve to be a kafir, we don't call him a kafir. And likewise, down the line, whether he's a fasiq, or whether he's a fajr, or whether he's a zalim, all of these are terminology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used in the Qur'an. And when we see in the Qur'an that Allah ta'ala uses these ayahs that they're always telling us about, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Whoever does not judge by that which Allah revealed, verily those are the kuffar, they are the disbelievers. Allah also says in the Quran, and whoever does not judge by that which Allah reveals, for verily they are the zalimun, the oppressors. And in the third ayah, whoever does not judge by that which Allah revealed, verily they are the what? The fatiqun, the evildoers. So a person may not judge by that which Allah has revealed, and he can be a kafir, or he can be a fatiq, or he can be a zalim. So it's possible to be a fasiq and a zalim without being a kafir. And when we say this, we do not say this because we want to have mercy upon those oppressors who are oppressing the Muslims, killing the Muslims, and so forth and so on. We don't say this to have mercy upon them. We say this to have mercy upon the brother, so that you will have mercy upon yourself. This Uzair alayhi salatu wassalam is mentioned in another place of the Quran, and that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Yahud, وَقَالَتَ الْيَهُودُ Uzair ibnُ Allah, and the Jews say that Uzair is the son of Allah. So we find that the Jews, like the Christians, made the shirk by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a son. And the Muslims as well have fallen into this hole of shirk, and that they attribute to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam characteristics that he's not befitting of. The reason why the Jews said that Uzair was the son of Allah is connected to this story. And that is, Uzair was dead for 100 years, as the ayahs of the Quran express. And in those 100 years, life was still going on around him. People still were living their lives. And then all of a sudden, when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave life back to Uzair and he started to walk with the people, they looked at him. So he had the clothes of a people 100 years ago. So if any of us imagine a man coming in here right now wearing the clothes of the people 50 years ago, it would be a strange sight. So Uzair came, went into the people, and he has these clothes of 100 years ago. And as the ayahs in Surah Al-Isra said, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala allowed Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Bani Israel and to kill the ulama. On top of the fact that Bani Israel themselves, when they made evil the first time, the evil that they did was that they killed their ulama and the prophets who were with them. So there were a few ulama left for Nebuchadnezzar, and a few of the Anbiya, and he killed the rest of them. So as a result of that, the Jews lost the information of the Torah. They lost it. So when Uzair came upon them, here's a man now wearing the clothes of 100 years, and he's also giving them fatwas from the Torah. He memorized it. So when they saw that this man knew all of the Torah, and that this man is a strange man, they said, "Innahu ibnullah." Verily, he has to be the son of Allah. That's the only way that he can know all of this Torah, and we don't know who he is, and so forth and so on. So they started to worship him along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another indication, ikhwan, of the danger of going overboard in our love for people. Some of us, in getting the fiqh in our religion, whenever we have a disagreement with someone or we want to state our case, the brother says to you, "Where's your dalil?" He says to you, "Al-Albani said." That's his opinion. Al-Albani, this is not a dalil in al-Islam. For you to say, "This is Al-Albani's opinion." This is not a dalil in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the dalil is, Allah said, and the Prophet said, and the Sahabas understood and practiced it that way. But we use the ulama, past and present, to understand those dalil. So if you're a person who all you can offer is, as a proof, Ibn Baz said, then know that that is an indication to you that you're jahil in the subject. If you're not in a position to be able to say, the ayat of the Quran is this and this and this and this, the hadith is this and this and this and this, this is the dalil. If you can't say that, or you're not in the position where you can go and get that information, maybe you don't necessarily memorize, but you have it written down somewhere, you know where you read it, and you can bring it to them, there's no problem with that. But to use as a dalil, Al-Albani's opinion is this, and whoever does not take that opinion, he's astray. When did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me responsible for understanding al-Islam like al-Albani? When? You're going to tell me that I can't make taqleed and blindly follow Imam Ahmed, Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, and Imam Shafi, but you're going to tell me that when you say al-Albani, this is his opinion, I got to follow that? That doesn't make sense, ikhwan. So past and present, one of the things that always cause the people to go astray is when they have a sheikh, they have ghulu in the sheikh, they have itra in the sheikh, to the point that the sheikh can do things that are haram and they wouldn't even say anything. Where I come from in Sudan, my people, next door neighbors are people from the Burhani Madhab. The man told me, and he swore by Allah, and he said to me, "If I saw my sheikh having sexual relationship with another woman, then I know that's what it looks like, the zahir, that it looks like that. But in actuality, the reality of it is that what it is this is a ship that's carrying all of the people, and my sheikh is covering up the hole, it has a hole in, and the people are going to drown. That's what it really is." So when he sees his sheikh really doing that, this is what he believes in his mind. that it's not really happening. But what that actually is a ship carrying all the people, and the ship has a hole in it, and it's going to sink, and the sheikh is filling up the hole. This is ghulu. So many of us who were in Jahiliyyah, and in Jahiliyyah, in the kufr that we had, it was not fashionable, nor was it trendy, to come into, to be in Jahiliyyah, and to put people on these high pedestals. So likewise in al-Islam, we shouldn't do it. And this is something that we find happening with the people. So when we want a dars to be given, and a certain brother who may not be that popular is given the dars, and it's an important dars, and he's qualified, we won't find a lot of people coming to the dars, because people are not into his personality. But then another person who may be more popular than that person, he may not be qualified to give the dars, like is the situation with the Majnoon. And we find a lot of people coming to the daros. Or if you put some meat on the bone and you tell the people there's going to be a daros, and after there's some meat on some bone, then the people come to the daros. Let us stay away from this ghulu, putting people higher than what they really deserve to be. So now we had some complaints by the brothers in the last lessons about there not being sufficient time to ask questions. What we're going to do, especially in the Bukhari class, is we're going to take more time out to let the brothers write down these Arabic terms as well as the men. And also we're not going to move on anymore until we are absolutely sure that all of the brothers understand each point. Because when we came here today, we found that people had understanding like Swiss cheese, you know, with the holes in it. They know some of it, but it had holes in it like that. So inshallah, if the brothers have any questions concerning this ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah, فَلْيَتَفَضَّلْ. The second transgression. The transgression before Uzair. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Bani Israel that they were going to make evil in the earth. And he destroyed them twice. Now we find Bani Israel right now making evil in the earth. I don't even know if it's correct to say Bani Israel, because I don't really believe that these people are the true Bani Israel. But the people are claiming to be Jews right now. These Jews today are making mischief in the earth. Mischief in the earth. Why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy them now? Because there is not in front of them an ummah muslimah that has the istiqamah in her religion. The ummah that is connecting themselves to Muhammad is an ummah that has all kind of craziness in her aqidah. The ummah that's connecting themselves to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an ummah that the people do not understand al-Islam. The ummah that's connecting themselves to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an ummah that is not praying. So we find if you people are evil and you're not having this istiqamah within yourselves, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow such a situation to take place. So it was in the second one, after the second one. Fadl Rashad. We said that the ulama who considered Uzair to be a prophet, they said that his statement, Kayfa, how is Allah going to give life to this after his death? They said that that statement is not a sin at all, but it's similar to Ibrahim's statement, Rabbi arani kayfa tuhyi al-mawta. Show me how you give life to the dead. How do you give life to the dead? So they don't even consider it to be a statement of kufr or a mistake. As for the people who say, no, he's not a prophet because of the statement, then this would be, yes, a major sin. But if the person said it because of ignorance, inshallah, he's ma'zur. He's excused. In al-Islam, he's excused, as we have already shown. And later on, inshallah, we're going to deal, there's going to be some ayat, hadith that come up in Sahih al-Bukhari, and we'll deal more extensively with the issue of takfir, because it's from the asul of our aqidah. Some of those issues that are extremely important, the fact that the people have gone astray in this bath. You find one of three types of individuals. The one who is too far to the right, like the murji'ah. You can do whatever you want to do in the deen. The deeds are not part of the iman. That's an extreme. Then we have the other extreme, the extreme of the khawarij. and the extreme of the Mu'tazila. And some people say, they criticize you and they say, what are you talking about the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila for today? And they, people have gone, tabakhuru and tahu, they're gone. Wallahi, they are still here right now. But maybe they're not walking around saying I'm Mu'tazili. They're not walking around saying I'm from the Khawarij. But the aqidah that they have is a clear evidence that they are from those people. Then you have the people of the middle course, and we know that the middle course, al-wasatiyya, is one of the characteristics, or khafa'it, the special characteristics that's peculiar to the religion of al-Islam. The people on the middle course, who try to stay from the extremes in all issues, are of the opinion that the takfir that's pronounced on a person has to have conditions attached to them. Without these conditions, you should be careful. Naam, tafadda akhi Sulaiman. Concerning the barzakh and the dying that's connected to the barzakh, again, as we said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us that when the individual dies, when the individual goes to sleep, he's dead. He said that the nawm is the sister of the death. So that's one. That a person can go to sleep and that's death, and he has nothing to do with the barzakh. He's not connected with the barzakh in any shape, form, or fashion. That's number one. Number two, in this particular ayat, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Uzair to die, he caused him to die and his life span that was written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz has not been completed. Just like Isa ibn Maryam. There's a lifespan that has been written for this individual in the Lawh al-Mahfuz that is not complete. When that completion is done, that's when the individual will be dealing with the barzakh. That's when that individual will be going in, he'll be in a place that's not this and not that, but he's in this special way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and Allahu ta'ala alim. As for those Hindus, and the reincarnation you mean, this dawah of reincarnation, and this is not a dawah that's peculiar to the Hindus. There are Muslims who also believe in reincarnation. And again, as we were talking to the brothers earlier, when we were talking about the Arabs and the A'ajim, the Muslims, when Islam started to spread out, particularly in Persia, those Persians are a very, very proud people. The Iranians and the Iraqis, those people up there, the Russians, all those people up there, but particularly the Khorasan area, Kufa and Basra, all those people were very, very, very proud. So when they came into Islam, not all of them were sincere in Islam. They wanted to mix this with Islam. So along with Islam, they put in this understanding of reincarnation. From way back then, they believed it. And to this day, right now, we have people who believe this stuff. So that's the answer concerning those two questions. As for the Hindus and those people who believe in this reincarnation, there's nothing whatsoever that we have in our book that supports that fact. And it's something that Muslims in general have no doubt about, that the issue of reincarnation is something that's from dalalah.